What a terrific job Brother King Gurley did. And we are so happy to have him back in our district one more time in our 1997 Youth Convention. We want him to just come, and we want him to take his liberty. We're going to preach with him. We're going to get behind him. We want to hear from God today, don't we? I said we want to hear from the Lord today. Brother Gurley, come and take your liberty.
Thank you, Brother Manning. Praise the Lord, everyone. Turn to your neighbor and say, you looking awfully nice this morning. Turn to somebody else and say, you're looking horribly wonderful this morning. Turn to somebody else and say, you're looking terribly fine this morning. The Spirit of the Lord is in this house. Didn't we enjoy Brother Dylan last night? What a message. Hallelujah. And I'm excited to be back in not the state of misery, but the state of Missouri with all of you. And to feel God's presence. You know, I believe this is a larger crowd than what I saw here last year. That either means that we're all gaining weight, or it means that we're growing. Turn to your neighbor and say, now, I ain't getting fluffy. I ain't getting fluffy on you. You have your Bibles. I'm going to be reading from 1 Kings chapter 3. It is an honor to be here with you again in Missouri. What a privilege to come back to this youth convention this afternoon in the service. That is after you have dined on filet mignon, baked potatoes, and at McDonald's. I'm going to talk to you about some important things dealing with the big M word. That's marriage. And we're going to have a good time this afternoon. Now, if you don't want to get married, don't come back this afternoon. If you're satisfied with your singlehood, God has made you a eunuch unto the Lord, then just don't come back and we'll know what God has done for you in your life. If you don't like members of the opposite sex, then just don't come back this afternoon. We'll know. And we'll understand. We'll have a prayer meeting for you. And help us, Lord. 1 Kings chapter 3. Verse 3. And Solomon loved the Lord, walking in the statutes of David his father. Only he sacrificed and burnt incense in high places. And the king went to Gibeon to sacrifice there. Everyone say Gibeon. For there was the great high place. 1,000, everyone say 1,000. 1,000 burnt offerings did Solomon offer upon that altar. In Gibeon, the Lord appeared to Solomon in a dream by night. And God said, ask what I shall give thee. Wow. Ask what I shall give thee. Skip down to verse 15. And Solomon awoke, and behold, it was a dream. And he came to Jerusalem. Everyone say Jerusalem. And stood before the ark of the covenant of the Lord, and offered up burnt offerings, and offered peace offerings, and made a feast to all his servants. I didn't come to Missouri to tickle your ears or to ignite your intellect or tiptoe through the tulips of a carnal man's diseased imagination. I came to preach the good word of the Lord to you. I'm aiming for every heart in this building. In eastern cities of this country, there was once a marketplace different than the one we know today. It was comprised of peddlers rolling carts up and down the streets. Fish peddlers, hardware peddlers, produce peddlers, dairy peddlers. But today I want to talk to you about a different sort of peddler. If there were dreams to sell, what would you buy? Some cost a passing bell, some a faint sigh. If there were dreams to sell, and the crier rang the bell, what would you buy? The dream peddler. The dream peddler. Would you put down your Bibles right now in this building? Brother Dylan preached last night, and I come to every meeting flexible, wanting to hear from God. I don't come with the standard message that I want to preach. I've never heard a more wonderful message on an opening night of youth convention than that last night. I didn't believe that I would even be able to preach this message at this youth convention, but God woke me early this morning and began to talk to my heart. I want to talk to you about the dream peddler. Would you reach over, if it's appropriate and if it's right, and touch the shoulder or take the hand of someone standing anywhere near you or next to you? We want to talk to the Lord in this building. Heavenly Father, we're coming to you right now, God, with that all-important commodity. Dreams, Lord. God, and what dreams are in this house right now? What dreams are in this building? Future ministers, future missionaries, great helps in the local church, great ministries in the local church. God, what a stride forward they took last night. But God, they just can't run away from something. They've got to run to something. Oh God, they've got to know where they're headed, oh Lord. I want you to come into this building right now, God. Lay your hand on everybody in this sanctuary. We need your power and we need your presence, oh Lord. We need that Spirit to come down in a mighty way, oh God. Lay your hand on us, oh Lord. Lay your hand on us, oh Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Oh, let's worship God in this house right now. I worship you, Lord. Oh, hallelujah. Turn to your neighbor and say, you know, I didn't brush my teeth, but I'm going to have church anyhow. You may be seated. Scripture introduces us to this great son of David, a man by the name of Solomon. Solomon was a certain customer of a dream peddler. Nathan the prophet had actually renamed Solomon. When Bathsheba and David had named this young man, Nathan came along. The very one that had accused David of his sin came along and renamed this man named Solomon and called him Jedediah, the beloved of God. And Solomon was the beloved of God. But let me just tell you something else. The Bible said what we read, but Solomon loved God. It's one thing to know that God loves you, but oh, how great it is to know in the depth of your heart that I love God with everything down inside of me. Does anybody love God in the house? It's a given that God loves you, but do you love God? Amen. Hallelujah. In fact, God loved Solomon so much that he gave him one of the most greatest gifts that any beloved of God could ever get. He gave him struggle. He gave him problems. He gave him adversity. So I don't know if I want God to love me. Oh, yeah. He came along and God got a hold of Solomon and said, Solomon, I love you so much, I'm going to give you problems. Before you can have a 1 Kings 3, you're going to have a 1 Kings 2 in your life. 1 Kings 2, Solomon had to deal with some things. He had to deal with the revolt of his own brother by the name of Adonijah. He had to deal with those that were in his midst, his own brethren that did not want him to excel. If you're going to do anything for God, there's some people next to you that really don't want you to do anything great. Your friends want you to succeed, but not much.
They don't want you to climb too high. In fact, when they sense that you're getting paralyzed and you're getting close to God, Adonijah appears and begins to pull you down. He even worked on you last night at the church. He got a hold of you and said, "Who do you think you are?" Somebody in this building, you need to say, "Adonijah, you're coming down. Adonijah, I am going to do something for God." Hallelujah. Solomon said, "Benaiah, execute Adonijah." At first, Adonijah grasped the horns of the altar of God, and Solomon spared him. But he made another grab for the throne, and Benaiah came and executed Adonijah. And then there was another man in 1 Kings 2 that Solomon had to deal with. His name was Joab. Before David died, he got a hold, those bony fingers, got a hold of his son Solomon and said, "Solomon, those sons of Zeruiah, they're too hard for me. My nephew has caused me nothing but trouble." Joab tried to make Adonijah king, and you're going to have to deal with him. Adonijah grabbed the horns of the altar of God. Solomon spared him. Joab said, "Huh, so that's the ticket, eh?" And he came and grabbed a hold of the horns of the altar of God, too. He said, "I'm going to find mercy." No, Joab, you're of a different sort. You see, the altar is a savor unto life, and it's a savor unto death. Behold the goodness and the severity of God. You better never take an altar for granted. You better never think it's just your magic ticket ride. You better never get to the place where you just think, I've done it before and gotten by with it, and God's going to let me get by with it again. You better realize it's nothing but the mercies of one that's greater than Solomon. It's the mercies of God that you're here today. Benaiah didn't even wait for him to get out of the house of God. Executed just one more spot of blood on an altar that had seen a lot of blood. And then there was the priest Abiathar. Abiathar and Zadok were two loyal priests that followed David bearing the Ark of the Covenant. But Abiathar, one of Eli's descendants, followed after Adonijah and wanted to make him king over Solomon. And Solomon banished him from the kingdom, fulfilling a prophecy in God's word that Eli's descendants would not remain in the priestly line. I don't care what your last name is. I don't care who your daddy is. I don't care who your grandpa is. I don't care if you're a household word in Pentecost. It's not your last name. It's not your connections. It's not whether you know the district superintendent and the secretary. It doesn't matter what your last name is. You're not promised a place in the ministry. And you're not promised a place in the kingdom. You better stay close to the altar of God. You better get it. You better get it. You better get it for yourself. Hallelujah.
And then finally, a man by the name of Shimei. God allowed Solomon some struggle. He had to deal with Shimei, that descendant of Saul. When David was leaving after his own son Absalom had rebelled, he was crossing over the Jordan. Shimei came out to David and threw dust in his face, began to spit on him. He said, "David, you bloody man! You're getting what you deserved." And before Solomon could become the true king, he had to deal with all of those backslidden people. You see what I'm telling you? If you want a dream, there's going to be a price that you will pay. There's going to be some adversity that comes into your life. Jacob the dreamer experienced one heartache after another. Joseph's dreams brought him into the place of being lied on, brought him into the place of jealousy of his brethren, brought him into the place of compromise where he had to take a stand when nobody else was looking. It took him down for what Bible scholars say could have been as much as 13 years into a dungeon. Yes, 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 Joseph, there's going to be sheaves of grain bowing to yours. Yes, Joseph, the stars of your brethren are
going to bow down to yours. But Joseph, there's a hidden part of that dream. For in the dream they have come, it's going to be with the price that has been paid. I don't know if you're really willing. You're really willing to pay the price necessary to be what God would have you. But would to God there's somebody in this building that said, I'm willing. I'm willing. Whatever it takes, I'm willing to pay the price. You'll face the Adonijah of adolescent unfaithfulness. You'll face the Joab of juvenile carnality. You've got to vanquish the Abiathar of aping hypocrisy. You've got to eradicate the Shimei's of sophomoric mood swings and quit being depressed one day and on top the next day. You've got to make up in your mind, I'm a child of God. I know where I'm headed. I know what my direction is. I know what my purpose is. Yeah! Before you have a 1 Kings 3, you got to have a 1 Kings 2. 1 Kings 3 opens, though, with this little statement. Solomon loved God. But he loved God like Cornelius did. Imperfectly. He was offering incense in the wrong places. Not before the Ark of Jerusalem, as David his father did, but up there in the high place of Gibeon. Solomon was not what he needed to be quite yet. But you know, that's why we need God. Because we are probably not where we need to be today. Oh, you're where you need to be physically. But maybe spiritually we're not where we need to be. But oh, I just like this. God still loves Solomon, even when his worship was not quite perfect. God has great love and kindness for those who are coming toward Him. God has a lot of... Don't put down somebody that don't know any better. Hey, there's some of you. You're not dressed like we're dressed just yet. You don't have what we have just yet. But you're coming the right direction. You're coming the right direction. Come on. Come on. God is still working on you. You may not have everything you need to have, but God still loves you. Somebody shout hallelujah out there. At Gibeon, where the tabernacle stood, minus the Ark of the Covenant, Solomon came up one day and said, thank God that chapter in my life's closed. Thank God 1 Kings 2 has given way to 1 Kings 3. I faced it all. And God, I just want to tell you, thank you for bringing me through the worst storm of my life. The Bible says he lined up his sacrifices and he began to offer. It says he offered up the sacrifices. I don't know if the knife was in Solomon's hand. I don't know if it was Solomon holding the animal's neck and the priest slit the throat. I don't know if it was Solomon that picked up the carcass and threw it on top of the brazen altar. I don't know what part he played, but all day long that day, he was offering sacrifices unto God. Oh, an hour passed. How many more, Solomon? There's only 100. There's some more. I still hear the bleating of sheep and the lowing of oxen. Let's offer some more to God. Solomon, it's noonday. We've offered 500 sacrifices. Yeah, but you know what? I still got some more to give to God. I'm going to give more to God. I can just see him. Come on. Come on. When are we going to stop? We're not going to stop until the setting of the sun. We're not going to stop until we've given all. Until we've given everything that we've got. And then, and only then, when the sun is set, can we stop? Whole generation upon whom the ends of the world have come, we haven't given it all yet. We need to give more and more and more. Oh, Sit down. Man, I got to start preaching here in a second. I'm telling you. What love. What love. I don't know if I'm doing this quite right, God. But I just want you to know I'm going to give you all. I don't know if I'm where I need to be, but I'm just going to give you. I'm talking about a love for God that'll cover a multitude of sins. I'm just going to give you all, God. I know I've been the rebellious youth in the youth court, and I know, let me just tell you a secret. Those of you that are corralled in the halls, all you're doing is running from God. Those of you that aren't obeying the rules, all you're doing is running from the yoke. Let me just tell you, the wildest bunch in here, God's got his eye on you. You're the one that he wants. You're the one he's going to change. All right, stop it. He offers up those thousand sacrifices. He's tired. And like Samuel, Solomon's about to find out something. Dreams begin best at the house of God. Smoke covered his garments. Blood and filth was all over him. He wandered into his tent that night. So exhausted, he falls down the pallet in Gibeon. Past the tent door. Past the waking conscious mind. Past the tyranny of the urgent. Unseen by the guards, a peddler began to roll his cart towards Solomon's tent. He slipped past everyone, the scissoring sound of the wheel as it cut through the sands and rocky places, until the tent flap was pulled back and a peddler slipped into the room. His cart was loaded with dreams. The same one who gives songs in the night is the dream peddler who came to Solomon that night. He came to Solomon with such a simple request. Solomon, what shall I give thee? In a dream, Solomon heard a voice. What shall I give thee? He heard that voice say, I got big dreams. I got little dreams. I got selfish dreams. I got selfish dreams. I got a cartload of dreams. Ask, and I'm going to give it to you. Immediately in Solomon's dream, he began to worship God. What do you do in your dreams? He began to worship God in his dreams. He began to magnify God. And he said, God, this was a dream. In his dream, he heard himself say, God, I can't make it by myself. I need wisdom. I don't know how to come in. I don't know how to go out. Entrances and exits are the toughest things in life, God. I need wisdom. I gotta have it. Give me a heart to judge thy people. I've got to know between good and bad. I can't judge them by myself, God. I can see the dream peddler beginning to smile. He reaches inside the cart and he hands an unadorned, plain wrapped package called wisdom and he gives it to Solomon. I give you insight into people's character. I give you foresight to know what to do. But before that chapter closes, in fact, right after this story, you're going to see that's when the two women came before the throne, fussing about a child. And the wisdom, it came out of a dream, and it began to be at work. It all came from a dream prayer request. It all came from a night alone with a dream peddler. It all came from a simple desire. When the dream peddler handed him the package of wisdom, he was so delighted with Solomon's request. He said, Solomon, I kind of like what you asked for. Seek ye first the kingdom of God
and his righteousness. And you know, I gave you one gift, just what you asked for. But since you asked for the right thing, all these things are going to be added unto you. He said, I'm going to give you wealth. I'm going to give you honor. And then he reached in and gave him a big package and said, now this is a conditional dream. If you walk in your father David's steps, I'm going to give you a long, fruitful life. You know what? If you would prefer godliness to gold, if you would prefer the will of God to a stealth, if you would confer yourself to the mind of God rather than some Mitsubishi or a Honda or things, God could do something in your life and change your life and give you what He wants you. But the Bible says these words, Solomon awoke. And behold, it was a dream. Have you ever been there? I remember when I was a kid, my mom and dad, I begged them for a pony. I begged my mom. We had an acre. We had a big fenced off area. My brother had cows. Why couldn't I have a pony? I asked my mom and dad for a pony. One night, I dreamed that they bought me a white Shetland pony. I'll never forget it. I tell you, in my dream, I got on that pony. The pony threw me off. I stood up and said, let me tell you something, horse. Me and you going to get along, but you going to do what I tell you to do. I called back on that horse. He threw me off. All night long in my dream, I was learning to ride that horse. Finally, I named the horse. We had good times in my dream. Next morning when I woke up, man, I slipped on my jeans. I ran to the window, looked out the window. Horse wasn't there. Ran outside and ran to the barn where in my dream the feed had been. Horse feed was gone. Looked around the backyard, walked around the barn. I couldn't find that pony. It was a dream. I woke and the horse wasn't there. And God has talked to a lot of you in youth camps and youth conventions. And He's given you a dream. Just for a split second, there was an image and a vision that appeared before you. Couldst thou in thy vision see the man God meant? Thou nevermore wouldst be the man thou art content. Just for a moment, when Brother Dillon was preaching last night, somebody saw a heavenly mirror and you saw yourself free. You could live free. But you got up this morning and the pony wasn't there. You got up this morning and realized it's just a dream.
What are you going to do, Solomon?
He didn't cast aside the night vision. He didn't hang his harp on a willow. He didn't lay down under a myrtle tree. He didn't crawl into a cave and say, I'm not coming out. Solomon realized that a golden bell had rung in his life. And he said, the dream that I've heard is still on my way. And I'm not going to stop. Can I preach to you right now? I dream stuff. Yeah, I dream stuff. Got to have an obligatory dream message every once in a while. Are dreams really necessary? Let me just tell you something, young men, young ladies. If you will come down right here, right now, and tell me your dreams, I will tell you your life story. Tell me your desires, and I'll write the story of your life from start to finish. Tell me what you want to be, and I'll tell you who you will be. Tell me what you desire to do for God, and I can tell you what you will do for God. If you have no dreams, you will have no success. If you have no desire to do the will of God, then you won't do the will. Don't worry. Hey, some of you scared half to death. If I give myself to God, God's going to call me to preach now to Montgomery. He's never going to ask you anything you don't want to do. And if you're not willing to do it now, He ain't going to change you. Yeah. 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 I'm telling you, the Bible speaks in Hebrews of another day. Solomon already had wisdom because David looked at his boy and said, do according to thy wisdom. Solomon, you're a smart man. But you know what? Carnal wisdom ain't going to make it in this day and age. I don't care if you have a PhD from MIT. I don't care how many initials you've got behind your last name. It don't matter how many carnal degrees from Egypt you've got. You aren't going to make it in this last day with earthly wisdom. But God is going to bring some trial in your life. God's going to give you some adversity that you're going to need a dream
from God.
Turn to your neighbor and say, I need a dream. Turn to somebody else and say, I got a dream. Turn to somebody else and say, I'm getting a dream. In Youth Convention 97, I'm going to see what God can do with me. I'm going to see if I commit myself to Him. You 250 that are standing right now, would to God He'd give you a dream before you leave this building today. Would to God He'd unfold your future. And the rest of you sitting there, you're going to be sitting there when these are going to excel. And these are going to triumph. And these are going to make it. Yeah, just keep sitting. Don't bother saying. You just sit down. You're sitting on a dream. You're sitting on something that God could do for you. Ah, Brother Gurley. Brother Gurley, Brother Gurley, Brother Gurley!
Yeah.
Each and every day, the priest went inside the holy place. There was a table for showbread. Frankincense and myrrh was mixed in that bread. It's a beautiful picture of the Lord Jesus Christ. Each and every day they went in there. But once a week, the bread had to be changed. Brother Gurley, God spoke to me through my great aunt Myrtle. She told me that I was going to be a successful bigot. And I've worked hard on being a bigot. I've labored hard on doing that. She told me I was going to be ignorant all my life. I'm in last place in my class and struggling hard to stay there. And proud of it. Now, if that's all you can do, glory to God. But if you have got a lid screwed down on your life, because of some stupid Aunt Myrtle in your life. I talked to a young man a week ago. Said I came to the altar and prayed. And somebody in the church came over and laid his hands on me and said, you know what? God has told me that you're trying, but you will fail. He said, well, what about that, Brother Gurley? What do you think? I said, who told you that? He told me the name. I said, would you go look at them and say, get thee behind me, Satan. And put my name on it. There ain't a one of you marked for failure. There ain't a one of you marked for damnation. There ain't a one of you marked for doom and gloom. God wants to give you a dream. And you need that dream. Somebody say, it's mine. Somebody say, it's mine. I got a dream that isn't just for Martin Luther King. That's for you today. You can have a dream. There's so much talent in this building right now. There's so much potential in this building right now. There ain't no telling what this room right here could do for the kingdom. I just got to stop right there. This ain't in the notes. This is anointing. I blame it on that anyway. Somebody just said in your heart, you just said it. Oh, come on, Brother Gurley. I'm just a young person. When will we get off of that? Joel said in the last days, I will pour out my spirit upon old flesh, upon dust-burping flesh, upon antiquated, wrinkled flesh. I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your young men and your daughters shall prophesy. Oh, there's a gift that God wants to give you in this building today.
I'm going to tell you something now, though. Jesus, help us, God. I'm going to tell you something now, right now. What separates the daydreamers from the night dreamers? What separates those that have just got tunnel? Just pipe dreams. Tunnel dreams. From those who take what God's given them in the darkness and bring it out openly in the light.
You're not going to like what I'm about to say. But I'm telling you,
it's what's going to separate a great youth group from a tremendous youth group. This is that. This is that. Preachers, you know what it is. It's that indefinable aura that separates ministry from outstanding ministry. It's that thing that separates good singers from great singers. It's the thing that's going to separate whether you're going to pump gas for the rest of your life or you're going to do the will of God for the rest of your life. You really don't want to hear what I'm about to tell you. Dreams are never given. Dreams are bought. You know, Brother Gurley, yeah, Solomon didn't get a dream until he had offered 1,000 sacrifices unto the Lord. You're not going to hear from God until you give Him all you've got. You got to pay the price. You got to pay the price. God isn't just going to come down in your world and give you a dream unless you're doing what you can do. Yeah, yeah. My pastor, I'll never forget some young men in the youth group. They said, but we feel like call a preach. My God. Wow. I tell you what, today, you ever approach this pulpit with delight, you got a problem. That place scares me half to death. It scares me so much I pray a long time before I get behind that thing. And the day you ever think, man, I got something to tell this church, that's the day you need to go to an altar and tell it all to God. Let Him tell you a few things. There's some young preachers in this building. You don't understand why your pastor hadn't opened up the pulpit and said, come on, you just take every Sunday night. You are a man of God. I'm just going to sit back and let you have it. You know why? Because that's His pulpit. He purchased that pulpit. He paid for that pulpit. He spent sleepless nights for that pulpit. You can't be given something that cost Him a lot. My pastor, I'll never forget. Good friend of mine, pastor's in Arkansas right now, great church. I'll never forget one night at Denny's. It's about 1 in the morning. He and I both in school. And I'd just gotten off of work, and we met at Denny's, and we were sitting there. And he said, Ken, you know, when you talk spiritual, you got to get in that tone of voice. Ken?
Ken, I feel my call into the ministry.
And if you feel your call to ministry, if you roll R's, you're really doing good on the ministry. And I said, you know, I was tired. Still had ink on my hands from stocking groceries. And I was sitting there and I said, all right, good, good. What you going to get? You going to get that Grand Slam? $199. He said, you don't understand.
You poor pitiful peon. You midget in the lower echelon. I'm in the outer strata right now. I'm in the
ministry. I said, great! No Brother Kilgore yet?
He said, tomorrow. I have an appointment with the Rev. Little ministerial lingo over there.
I said, great. Will you hurry up and order? She's waiting for us.
We got through eating. Next evening, I didn't see him. Next day, I didn't see him. Next day, I didn't see him. And this was my buddy. We always ran again. Sunday, I got church early, getting ready to run my bus route. And I walked in, and I saw him over in the corner. He looked mean, bad, dejected. Went over and said, hey, man! Talk to the Rev. Because I won't talk about it. It took years before I heard the story. He had gone in there and said, I guess you know a promising hunk of specimen if you've ever seen one here. It would really be the gift of God for me to be placed in the ministry. The church would be blessed. When Brother Kilgore got through with him, he told me later, he said, Brother Kilgore didn't need to open the door. I just slid out from beneath the bottom of it. He said, Ken, he didn't even hardly let me get the words out of my mouth until he said, come, son. And we began to walk. He said he took me to the lobby of the church. I just knew we were headed to the altar and he was going to lay his hands on me. Great gifts would come on me. We walked down another hall. We went down that long hall, the educational wing. I said, where are we going? He said, hang on. We got to the very end of the educational wing and he opened the door. And he said, son, if you want to be in the ministry, this is level one right here. I said, what were you looking at? He said, I was looking at brooms. I was looking at mops. I mowed the yard at the church. I washed vans. I'm telling you that a dream is born. You'll pay the price. You're going to pay the price to do great things for God. Hang on. I'll start preaching. I know I'm meddling right now. There's a chaperone. You're here right now. You really didn't want to come. You finally came anyway because you didn't want a bunch of people mad at you. But you know you're above this, and these youth are beneath you. And you're powerful ministry, my God. I don't know why they don't have you preaching every night at General Conference this year. There is nothing higher than where you're at right now. There is nothing more beautiful than to be right here in the midst. If you don't sleep 1 week for 3 days, you ought to go back this weekend to church saying, my God, what an awesome privilege. I was in a high place offering sacrifices unto God. Oh, yeah. I want to be used of God, Brother Gurley. Have you been to the dream buying room? Have you been to the prayer room? I want God to bless my ministry. Have you poured yourself out and emptied yourself from vessel to vessel? I want God to touch me. Have you pressed your way through a crowd of apathy and said, I'm going to pay the price? My Bible says, cast your bread upon the waters. And after many days, it's to come back. Three meanings of that word. One is that the bread was very highly, it was dense, it was highly packed, and